I get my strength. This is where I get to see smiling faces in the morning. You don't get to see smiling faces in the morning everywhere you go, but church hopefully is one of those places where when you come in the morning, you get to see smiling faces, people excited about life, excited about their walk with God. Amen. And it's good to be with family. Praise God. Amen. All those that are watching on Facebook Live, we welcome you this morning. Thank you so much for tuning in and watching and being blessed by our services. Amen. Comment. Tell us where you're watching from. That'd be great to know. Amen. We see you, but we want to know. Praise God. Amen. Lord bless you today. Today is Jacob's Prayer for Deliverance. Jacob's Prayer for Deliverance. Our focus verse is Genesis 32, verse 11. The lesson text, you can read this on your own. Genesis 28, 16 through 22, and then also Genesis 32, verses 12 through 9. And our focus verse is pulled out of there. It says, "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me." Anybody that has older brothers always have this fear in the back of their mind of being smitten by your older brother. Amen. I am the younger, so I every once in a while have a fear of being smitten. From my older brother, lest he come and smite me and the mother with the children. And also a little bit of verse 12, just so that we have this in the back of our minds as we go through this lesson. "And thou saidest," this is God, "I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." A promise, a prayer, and a promise. Amen. Our focus thought today, one of the blessings of difficult situations, which I'm sure we all enjoy and have our fair share of difficult situations, right? But one of the blessings of these difficult situations in our lives is that it causes us to call out to God. Amen. Every once in a while, we need a little nudge. Hello, I'm right here. You know, if you'd call out to me a little more often, I wouldn't have to put you through some of these things. But God loves us enough. He loves us enough sometimes to put us in some difficult situations so that we remember that we serve a God who can deliver. So my question to you today, my thought-provoking question to you today, is have you ever prayed about a difficult situation because your back was up against a wall? Because your back was up against a wall. God, somehow I have managed to get into a very horrible situation. I can't see my way out. Will you please deliver me? When you went through this long situation that slowly backed you up into the wall, not once calling upon the name of the Lord, until your back was against the wall and you had no other options but to call on the name of the Lord. I've been there. I've done it. And you're thinking, why in the world did I not call on the name of the Lord sooner than I did? Why did I have to go through all of this mess when I could have called on the name of the Lord who is able to deliver when my back is against the wall or when my back is not against the wall? God is able to deliver. Sometimes we have to get in those situations to remind us that we have a delivering God that we serve. And all we need to do is call on Him. Did you wait until it seemed like the situation was desperate? All hope was gone? And then as a last resort, you prayed. Well, everything else has failed. Guess I'll try prayer. It's happened. It's true. In the summer of 2015, in our cultural connection, a breach of security allowed hackers identifying themselves as the Impact Team, made an impact, to access the database of Ashley Madison. The hackers released 25 gigabytes, for all you nerds out there that understand how big that is, of secret and personal details of millions who joined this matchmaking service. Many high-profile people were among the millions of users whose personal account information was made public. So you can imagine there was quite a few people with their back against the wall. Sometimes in these desperate conditions, we confess to others, well, there's really nothing we can do but pray. Right? Help us, Lord, with our mentality. There's nothing really we can do but pray. Like, pray is, well, that's, you know, we got a flat. Maybe we'll just put a little tiny bit of air in it. Maybe that'll get us to where we're going. If we just put a little prayer into this situation, just maybe we'll survive. You know, nothing we can do but pray. Isn't prayer the best thing that we can do? Isn't prayer the best thing that we can do? Prayer is the best thing and should be the first thing that we do. Prayer should never be looked at as a last resort. After we've tried everything else, we'll finally say, well, I guess all I can do is pray. The Jerusalem church looked at it very differently. It was their first resort. Peter's arrest, the response was prayer meeting. We should go talk to a lawyer. We should go see if we can talk some sense into these people. Let's gather everyone together and protest this false or this wrong arrest. Peter has been done wrongly, and we need to voice our opinion about how wrong he was treated. No. Their first response was, let's have a prayer meeting. And the really neat thing about that was that when their prayer was answered, they didn't even realize. They thought a ghost was at the door. That's pretty extreme. Yes. We're praying for his release, but that's got to be a ghost out there. Can't possibly be Peter. That can't possibly be the answer to our prayer. But their first response, they got one thing right. Their first response to a time of difficulty was prayer. Let's hold a prayer meeting and see what God will do in this situation. Help us in our life when situations arise that our first thing is prayer. Our first thing is hit our knees. Our first thing is to say, brother, sister, will you pray with me on this situation? The first thing. Let us begin praying early with faith in God, never waiting until we get to a state of desperation. Now, there are times that we have to pray prayers of desperation. When you're in the middle of an immediate accident, a prayer of desperation is perfectly fine. Hopefully, you've been praying before then. Or pray, God, keep your hand upon me as I travel today. Yes. spending some time with Jesus before all of this. But in the middle of that desperate situation, it's all right to have a desperate prayer. God, save me. Amen. It's interesting getting into names. We're talking about Jacob's prayer of deliverance, and I haven't even mentioned Jacob yet, so let's get into that. The Old Testament had a way of, they named their children, and that name had a meaning, and somehow, magically, those children lived up to their names. In most instances, what they were named was what they were. So whether it was God ordained for them to be named this and that's what their name meant, or if by naming them this, they fulfilled their name meaning throughout their life. However it worked, that's how it was. They named them and it meant something. Today, very little thought is put into the meaning of our names. Well, he floats in water. Let's call him Bob. Right? Praise God. Amen. But very little thought. It's like buy a baby name book and go through the baby names. And oh, I like how that one and that one flow together. It just flows together on the tongue. And that's a wonderful name. And it's going to be such a sweet name for a little girl, or such a manly name for a little boy. He's going to really, really enjoy his name. It's going to be easy to spell, like AJ. It's going to be super easy to spell. And it's going to be great. Do you ever look up what the meaning of your name means? The meaning of your name means. Praise God. Limited sleep. Jeffrey means peace, or God's peace. And I try, to the best of my ability, to live up to what my name means. I try to live peaceably with all men and women. Praise God. And I try to live in God's peace. But I don't know if mom and dad were thinking of God's peace when I was born early on a Sunday morning in the bitter cold of Winnipeg in May. I don't know if they were thinking about God's peace at that time. But that's what they named me. God's peace. In the Old Testament, evidently, much thought and possibly prayer went into the selection of the names for the children. The names often matched their recipients. And so we come to Jacob. And Jacob, we all know, was deceiver, supplanter, conniver. He conspired with his mother to deceive his father. He was living up to his name. Deceived his father. And deceived and stole from his older brother the blessing and the inheritance. Jacob's deceitful ways eventually got him into extremely difficult circumstances. Although he never should have waited until getting into extreme circumstances to pray, his situation led him eventually into one of the most powerful prayer meetings for deliverance recorded in Scripture. Jacob's blessing. God, in his foreknowledge, saw Jacob. He saw him in a light far above and beyond the carnal, deceptive ways of his youth. And God loved Jacob. I'm so thankful that in my life, God looked down and looked past my youthful deceptions and my lying tongue and my bad attitude and all of the things that I dealt with when I was a teenager. And God loved me. God loved you when you were unlovable. God loved you. God did not, however, love the way in which Jacob went about receiving the birthright. God does not love when we are deceptive, and God does not love when we deceive people and lie and go about trying to get things in our carnal ways. God did not love that. He did not love the way that he convinced Esau to give him his birthright, or the blessing he tricked his father into giving him. But God loved Jacob. And Isaac blessed Jacob. Genesis 25 and 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. There was a prophetic word spoken before he was even born. God loved Jacob. And there was a prophecy that was about to be fulfilled in Jacob's life. God's prophetic answer to Rebekah revealed the ongoing struggle between Esau and Jacob to be one that would eventually reveal two separate nations and two levels of strength, and the younger brother being the stronger of the two. Jacob was destined to be the stronger brother and the one who would obtain great blessing. He did not have to resort to conniving and deceptive means in order to obtain his blessing. It was a prophecy that was going to be fulfilled. Jacob took it upon himself, not even understanding the prophecy. Took it upon himself to do all of these things. It was part of his nature. And how many times do we, just in our own human nature, try to go about things in our own way, ignoring the plan of God in our life and the prophetic word that had been spoken into our lives, trying to fulfill the will of God in our lives at times by doing our own thing, our own way, and expecting God to come through and bless us while we are not including him in our lives. It happens. Jacob first bargained with his brother over his birthright. He recognized his brother's weakened state, and Jacob offered to give him some food in exchange for his birthright, his inheritance. The big lump sum, the annuity, the big the thing that was going to set him up for the rest of his life, gave up, including the blessing. I don't even think he thought about the blessing that he was going to receive as the elder brother. Gave all of that up for some food. But Jacob worked his magic. Was able to find a way to encourage his brother in a negative way to get what Jacob wanted. He was deceiving, conniving in order to get what he wanted. He also schemed with his mother over a plan to obtain the blessing his father was to bestow upon Esau. Jacob stole the blessing that rightfully belonged to Esau, and consequently Esau hated his brother and was determined to kill him. And that's where we find Jacob in this situation, with his back up against the wall. If not up against the wall at this point, getting awfully close. And we don't see Jacob praying at this point. We see Jacob doing what a lot of us do when we get into tight situations and things aren't going our way. Things are going south quickly. What do? We got a fight or flight mentality. Most of us, it's flight. well, this isn't going well. I'm getting out. I'm going to get out. And somehow God's going to figure it all out and I'll be better down the road. But I'm leaving this negative, bad situation that I just happened to cause myself and getting out. I'm going to try something new. I'm going to get out. Esau hated him. Genesis 27, 35 through 41 says in there, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. I'm going to wait at least until my father dies. And then I'm going to take care of this deceiving brother. I will get back what is mine. And Jacob was getting closer to having his back against the wall. So Jacob fled for his life. He decided it was time to run away from his trouble. Like Jacob, many of our problems in life are of our own making. We cause most of the strife that we go through in life. We do. I don't know why. You'd think after we'd done it once or twice to ourselves, we would figure it out. But I guess we're just not that smart. We don't see it. We'll get in the middle of a situation and we'll make the wrong decision every time. Every opportunity God gives us to make the right choice, we'll make the wrong choice. And we just keep veering in the wrong direction until we find ourselves with our back against the wall. Saying, God, how did I get here? Why did you allow this to happen to me? God's like, I've been giving you signs for months. It's like, go right and you'd go left. And I'd go meet you where you were in the wrong location again. And you'd go left. And I was telling you to go right. And I was like, why aren't you listening? Why aren't you praying? But making wrong choices and ending up with our back against the wall. That is something that we all deal with. Because we are all part of this wonderful, stubborn human race. Praise God. Some of us got a little extra on that gene. But all of us have it. Right? Praise God. I know for a fact that I am a stubborn human being. Sometimes I need a good thump on the head, somebody to step on my toes, get me back in line. Praise God. I need that because I know I'm stubborn. So he left. He fled. Again, making his own way through life. Not yet praying. He fled to his uncle Laban. The problem with Esau did bring about a change in Jacob's thinking at this point. And that is what we call repentance. Finally, there's something. There's a glimmer of hope in Jacob when that turn is made towards repentance. Repentance, a change of mind, a change of direction in one's life. There was, we all have that point where there was a change of direction. Repentance is an about face. No longer heading the direction that we were heading, but walking a new path in the opposite direction. When you see people continuing down the road that they were on, following repentance, it makes you question repentance in their life. Because repentance is an act of turning around and going the other way. There is going to be evidence in your life when you repent. Praise God. There's going to be evidence in your life. He soon would encounter God in a personal way before reaching his uncle's house. God appeared to Jacob in a dream. Jacob encountered God. He went to sleep. He dreamed about a ladder. We know the story. Went from earth to heaven with angels ascending and descending it. Above the ladder was God, who gave Jacob some great promises. What a picture of the grace of God. The grace of God. This is Jacob, the deceiver. Yet I love him enough that I am going to give him promises because I'm seeing a turn, a change is occurring. And so in that change, I'm going to encourage him through promises, and through my grace and through my love. When we make a turn towards God, God is not going to turn his back on you. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are fearful at times of leaving things that we know in this life or in this world, things that we are comfortable with in our humanity. And when we come to God, sometimes there is a fear factor involved. And that is, I'm leaving something that I'm comfortable with to go into the unknown. But know this, God will not turn you away. God will not turn his back on you. If you turn to God, he will turn to you. And there will be promises that are given in your life and fulfilled in your life because God's grace, hallelujah, and God's love is very, very present at that moment. Praise God. Hallelujah. He did not earn any of this through his repentance. What repentance did was put him in the proper posture to receive from God. It's exactly what repentance does in your life. It puts you in the proper posture to receive from God. Hallelujah. Anybody want to receive from God today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis 28:16, and Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Jacob was profoundly affected by his encounter with God. He renamed the place Bethel, which means house of God. The Lord confirmed covenant. That same covenant that he had with Abraham. God would fulfill his covenant. God had chosen Jacob to be the one of blessing through whom he would enact his covenant, which began with Abraham. God assured Jacob of his continued presence. I'm so thankful that God reassures us. He assures us, and then he reassures us, and he lets us know, and he keeps letting us know throughout our relationship, throughout our walk with him, that he loves us, he's with us, his promises are sure. We can stand on his promises, praise God. He lets us know that he is always there with us. God also assured Jacob at Bethel that he would abide with him. There was no greater promise to people of faith than the abiding presence of God. I'm so thankful for the abiding presence of God. Genesis 28:15, and behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whether thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. There you have it. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he that he may abide with you forever. Praise God. That is a promise that we have. Thankful for that promise today. Amen. Jacob had turned around and he was now headed down the pathway in his life that would bring him blessing, change, and the presence of God. Further, this change of direction moved him to make a commitment to God. So we have repentance, which changes your direction. That puts you in the proper posture to receive blessing from God. But repentance is not where it ends. There is a commitment that needs to be made on our end. God, I will serve you. Yes, I have turned away from sin. But turning away from sin is not enough. We need to turn away unto God and commit our lives and surrender our lives to Him. That is a commitment that we must make. And Jacob made a commitment to God that abandoned his former position of self-serving, selfish deception, and grasping for that which belongs to other people. Isn't that nice? Jacob's commitment is this. He desired God's presence, his protection, and his provision. We do not understand what things we need as we journey through this life, but we know God understands. We need his guidance and direction through every season of our life. He knows what we need before we ask him, and he will direct our path if we will trust and follow him. He is the one who is able to keep us safe and secure in all of our ways. While we may not be able to avoid every painful and difficult circumstance in our life, we can rest assured of God's presence and protection through times of pain and trouble. Are there any witnesses in the house today that can say that God has been with them in times of pain and trouble? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul wrote, there has no temptation taken you but such as in common to man, but God is faithful. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. God is faithful. Praise God. Praise God. He will provide ways of escape from temptation so that we are able to bear them. If we seek first his kingdom, God will provide our needs. That is not to suggest, and I'm just throwing this out there, it's not to suggest that we are not to work or put forth effort to provide for ourselves, because the scripture teaches us otherwise. Praise God. To be responsible workers and to provide for our families. Amen. It does reveal God's interest in our lives and his promises to be with us, protect us, provide for us in many ways in which we are unable to provide for ourselves. Praise God. Commitment. If we think about it today for just a minute, I'm sure that we could come up with some commitments that we have personally made to God. We all have our own commitments that we've made. God, I will not go here. And God, I will not do this. And I will not do that. And I will limit my time in this area. And I will focus more of my time in this area. Commitments that we've made to God. I will fast one time a week. Or I will fast one time a month. Or I will spend my first moments of my day reading your word. And commitments that we've made in our lives. And a lot of times, as we go through life, we may go through cycles where we remember all of our commitments, and sometimes we forget some of our commitments. We were just talking about this the other night about doing first fruits, and I thought it only took 21 days to form a habit. And then once you had a habit, it was a habit for life. Well, that may work in the secular, praise God. But doing first fruits for 21 days, I had a habit. I was doing first fruits. I had no problem getting up in the morning, first fruits. All of a sudden, there was a day that I got up and I was a little busy. And I jumped out of the bed and I ran, did my thing, got my coffee and hit the door and away I went. And it hit me. I didn't do first fruits today. So now it's like second, fifth fruits, I guess. I don't know. I'd done a whole bunch of stuff today and it wasn't first fruits. And so, okay, tomorrow morning, get back into this. It's going to take 21 days to get this habit back. And get up the next morning and force myself. Read the word. Spend time in prayer. Okay, great. The next day I woke up and forgot. So what in the world? What's going on here? But it happens in life where things get busy and we forget or we change our list of priorities. We have a way of doing that as humans. Well, that's more important. I needed to be over there early in the morning, so I'll just do my first fruits later. We have a way of prioritizing and switching things around. But we have made commitments to God. Jacob made a commitment to God. Jacob demonstrated his commitment to God through these actions. Jacob pursued a close relationship with God. Number one, commitment. Number two, Jacob established a place of worship. Very important that we establish a place of worship in our life. Jacob committed his finances to God. Jacob promised God that a tithe of all of his increase, he would give a tenth part to God. That's a commitment. Praise God. I pray today that we're all doing that commitment. Praise God. Amen. Jacob reaped from the bitter harvest of the deception he had sown earlier in his life. He had his heart set upon Rachel. We know the story. Worked 7 years, did not get Rachel. What? Deception came and bit you? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Okay? We reap what we sow. Right? So he got Leah. So I'm going to work another 7 years, right? So he does that, an additional 7 years. Jacob learned what it feels like to experience the sting of deception. Careful what you sow, folks. Careful what you sow. It's fun when you're young and you spread a little lie and get a little chuckle out of it. And, oh, but it hurts when somebody does that to you. It hurts when somebody does it to you. Jacob's difficulty brought him into a place of prayer. Fearing that Esau was going to retaliate for Jacob, Jacob's receiving the birthright and the blessing, Jacob was ready to get serious with God in prayer. So Jacob had made a turn. His posture was correct. Jacob was in God's will. And Jacob began his prayer by reminding God that he was journeying back to his homeland because God had directed him to do so. God, you ever done that? Remind him of his promise? God, you said you were going to do this. And I'm just bringing it up because I want you to remember, like God's going to forget, right? I just want you to know that I remember and I want you to remember what you said. Here I go. I am heading back. But Jacob prayed with humility. He acknowledged that all of his blessings had come from God. Jacob prayed for deliverance. And that was our focus verse. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother. He still feared for his life. Because the last he heard, Esau was going to kill him as soon as his father passed away. And Jacob reminded God of his covenant promise. If I die, how is my seed going to multiply as the sand? Right? So God, you have to keep your promise to me in order for your word to be fulfilled in my life. Reminding God. Reminding God. Jacob sent some of his servants ahead. He reminded God, he trusted God, but he still had a little bit of fear about the situation. I'm going to test the waters. We're going to send some servants, people that I love dearly, but I'm willing to live without if I have to. We're going to send some servants with some gifts, space them out just right, so if something goes terribly wrong, I don't lose them all. Right? So he had a little plan, even though he trusted God. We still have our way of tiptoeing into God's plan for our life, right? It's like there's a door in your life, and it's wide open, and it's like going to a friend's house, and their door is open, right? You still go, knock, 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 hello, anybody there, right? Even though the door is open to you, right? Jacob is doing this. He's tiptoeing into the will of God. And so, we have the night where he wrestles. I'm not letting go until you bless me. I'm not letting go. This situation, I don't want to face alone. I want your blessing in my life. And that's exactly what happened. The Jacob from before, who was persistent about being deceiving and persistent about getting what he wanted from other people, now that trait of persistence finally faced in the right direction was paying dividends. Don't despise some of the qualities that you have as a human being. God made you the way that you are, and God can use the qualities that are in your life. You can use them for harm and for bad, but God can use you and your giftings for good. Amen. Praise God. He can use stubborn me. He can use stubborn me. Right? He can use stubborn you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Be persistent. And he was. And through that, he received his blessing. Jacob's name was changed to Israel from supplanter to God prevails. No longer would he be known as a deceiver, but as one who had discovered and encountered the prevailing power of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Jacob found power with God. In addition to his significant name change, Jacob received power with God and with man. Praise God. Praise God. I want power with God and with man. I want favor with God and favor with man. I want to be able to influence those that I hang around and that I work with. I want to have power with God and with man. Praise God. And Jacob found that power with God. Amen. There is power in persistent, prevailing prayer. Praise God. And I am out of time this morning. I wanted to leave you with these practical truths as we stand this morning. Praise God. This was good. I'll give you this. This is free. This takes you into overtime. He goes back to Bethel, where that was translated the house of God. He goes back and he renames it again to El Bethel, which changes to God of the house. He went from understanding God was there to who God was. Praise God. God of the house. Let me give you these four things really quick before we pray. We should not wait until we are desperate to seek God. We should seek God early. Let prayer be first. Repentance and prayer, this is number two. Repentance and prayer form the foundation for spiritual growth in relationship with God as we pursue God in our lives. Number three, prayer can deliver us from life's many challenges and gives us grace and strength to face our troubles, giving us power with God. And number four, prayer will enable us to become more fully acquainted with God. Then not only will we be familiar with the house of God, but we will also know the God of the house. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you want to know the God of the house today? Praise God. The God of the house is a healer. We need to pray for the Wades. We need to pray for Marianne and countless others who are sick in body today. It is fall time, getting on winter time, and it's just causing havoc. But let's not wait until we're on our deathbeds. Let's pray now. Praise God. Let's pray early and watch and see what God will do. In Jesus' name, let's pray together today. God, we love you, Lord, today.